According to their website, Lost Art Press has no employees, no customer service department, and no corporate headquarters. They're two woodworkers with laptops running a publishing company from their homes. In the studio with me tonight is one of those woodworkers, Christopher Schwartz. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Your partner in this labor of love is John Hoffman. Let's begin with your love of hand tools and woodworking. When did it begin and how did you two hook up?
Well, it began when I was a kid and we grew up. We had a farm that we didn't have any electricity. And so we built our houses on the farm completely by hand. Just saw, handsaw, brace and bit, and boy, I hated it. I mean, it was horrible. And I wanted a 10-mile-long extension cord and a skill saw. But all those skills kind of stuck. And when I got out of college, I just started building furniture by hand, mostly on my back porch. And all that sort of experience on the farm sort of kindled that love for working by hand. So I've been building furniture and writing. I was a newspaper man for years, too, building and writing until I got a job with Popular Woodworking in Cincinnati and was there for 15, 16 years and ended up as editor there at the end. But during that time, I just really started digging into old texts, old books that really pointed out that the past was an advanced civilization when it came to woodworking. And the more I dug and the more I worked that way, the more I found that there was just a need for us to really publish books that explored these lost arts. And that's why we started our company. John's another woodworker. He lives up in Indianapolis, so we're actually a totally virtual company. And he worked for the government and recently retired, but we met in a chairmaking class. So we were out in the middle of the wilderness in Canada, building chairs entirely by hand on a foot-powered lathe. And that's where we met, became friends, and this company just started up about 2007, and now we ship probably 15, 20,000 books a year and have a really big business that supports both of us, but no employees or anything like that.
You live here in Fort Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
But the company, if you just ship in the United States, you have others who ship internationally?
Yes, we have a network of suppliers in Sweden and England and Germany, Australia, who handle our books outside, and we have a distributor in Canada. But we try to just focus on the U.S. market for us. That's about all we can handle personally. Until very recently, my kids were boxing up all the books and sending out all the orders. And we finally grew to the point where we could have a warehouse that actually does it. But it was really been a homegrown business from the start.
I found the book that you brought in fascinating, the one that took 6 years of research.
Yeah, that's been one of our biggest projects. And that's by a guy named Andre Roubeau. And he wrote the 18th century masterwork on furniture making, a 5-volume set. And it was the first book that was written by a real craftsman, not a gentleman. So that book, teams of people have been trying to translate that book into English from French for more than 150 years, and they've all failed. And we managed with a team from employees from the Smithsonian to get it done after 6 years of work. And we published the first volume, which is what I have here, and we've got 4 more to do at least. But it's been mind-blowing stuff. All of us who have been doing this for decades, we're still learning stuff on this. It's like, we never knew this. And so, yeah, it's a fascinating process, and that's what gets us up in the morning.
Ohio Bookstore has leather-bound copies?
Yeah, we love working with local businesses. And Ohio Book, we always issue special editions of our books that are leather-bound for the customers. So Ohio Book does that, and they do it all by hand on old equipment, which we love. Steam Whistle Press on Main Street, they're a letterpress company, and they do all of our letterpress, like book plates. And so we like to work with small, family-run companies. Our designers are local designers who work out of their homes here in Cincinnati. So we try to keep it small as far as working with small organizations and local. We love that.
Talk about the history of furniture making here in Cincinnati. You alluded to it before the interview.
Yeah, Cincinnati has a fascinating furniture history. You know, in the 1830s up until about the 1860s, for maybe 30 or 40 years, Cincinnati was the epicenter of furniture making in the United States. because we were one of the first cities to really harness steam power. So we had this competitive edge over all the cities, especially south and west of us. So it was very easy for these huge furniture companies, and a lot of their signs are still on 4th Street. You can see them fading into the brick walls. But they were able to make these pieces of furniture and ship them downriver on the steamboats and sell them for a cheaper price in New Orleans than you could buy a piece that had been made in New Orleans. It was actually incredible. There are furniture companies here that hired hundreds of carvers, just enormous factories. And some of the stuff that's funny about it is they wouldn't hire Englishmen. They would only hire Germans or Americans to work in the factories because the Englishmen drank too much. They wanted just upright Germans. Funny, funny stuff.
You have a book that you brought also. It's called The Anarchist Tool Chest.
Yes, that is the book that let me quit my job. So it's in its sixth printing and has really taken on a life of its own. Really surprising. I mean, I am an anarchist, but an aesthetic anarchist. And actually, what's funny is the history of anarchism comes straight from Cincinnati. Josiah Warren was the first American anarchist, and he had a store here in Cincinnati. But this book is about the 50 tools that you need to start woodworking, to build any piece of furniture, and how to find those tools, those 50 tools, and fix them up, and then build a tool chest for them. And it talks about how furniture making today is really a radical act. I mean, we're this consumerist society where we buy our furniture at IKEA and we throw it away in 3 or 4 years when it falls apart or we're sick of it. And so it's radical to build furniture and have that furniture outlast you by 200 or 300 years. And that's the radical act. That's the disconnecting yourself from consumerism, making stuff that will break you out of that cycle. And that sounds all political. I'm not a political guy, but it is something that has struck a note with 20,000 readers around the world, made people quit their jobs because of this book, which is crazy.
What are some of the basic handworking tools?
Well, you don't need much to get started. You need a saw, a crosscut handsaw, and you can find those for $5 at any sort of flea market. You need a couple chisels. You need a mallet. You need a little marking gauge to lay out your cuts. And with those basic tools and a mallet, you can do amazing things. We think that we need every tool at Sears to get started building furniture, when the truth is all we have to do is just go out there and do it. You don't need a shop. You don't need a workbench necessarily. You just need the desire to make something.
And I noticed you have DVDs on your website also. Those help people with techniques?
Yeah, I'm a big word person, but so many woodworkers learn today by visual medium. And so I've done at least 15 or 20 DVDs with other tool makers or with F&W Media over the years on how to sharpen your tools, how to get them set up so they work, how to use them. I personally think I look like a lab animal on screen, but we do them because we have to.
And you also do a blog.
Yes. I've been running a blog since 2005, which in internet terms is a dinosaur. Yeah, we post every day. And the blog is, you know, sort of the rough draft of all of our books. All the stuff that we explore all around the world. I travel all around the world to teach. That goes up on the blog. And we don't do marketing. We don't buy ads. We don't do spam. I mean, we just have the blog. And people come for the information. They like it. And they buy the books. And then we quit our jobs. And we're happy. So it's been a good journey.
The article about a British introduction to Japanese planes, mm-hmm. That's really esoteric.
It does seem very esoteric, and it is esoteric, but it's still very cool. Like, you learn about Japanese sword steel and how fascinating it was, like, when the samurai were shut down. What did all these sword makers do? Well, they made woodworking tools. So the Japanese woodworking culture is so more advanced than our Western stuff. It's amazing. It's like, we can't even conceive of how they make tools. It's so mysterious. So that stuff, yeah, it's freaky, but it's also kind of cool. You get bit by the bug and eventually you find yourself buying Japanese tools.
Do you ever present seminars or workshops?
Yes, I teach all over the world. I just got back from England and I teach people how to build by hand. So we'll get 20 people together and build a tool chest all by hand, or build a workbench, or build chairs. I teach in Australia, Canada, all over the United States. The world's biggest woodworking school is up the road in Indianapolis, Indiana. So I teach there very often. It's huge. That's the other thing I do. That's the sort of other leg of my business, is teaching people how to do it one-to-one.
If people wanted to attend any of these, can they find that information on your website?
Yeah. My blog is the source of everything. You go to our Lost Art Press blog, and on the right side is a list of every class and when it is, with links to those classes. And so, yeah, we're easy to get in touch with. Our email's there. We love talking to woodworkers. So you send us an email, we'll email you back. We're happy to.
Thanks for coming in tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, Lee. Appreciate it.
You'll find a link to Lost Art Press at WVXU.org. My guest tonight, Christopher Schwartz. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.